The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, here we are, nice and early. Believe You Me podcast. Probably not coming to you nice and early, but it is 9 a.m. in the morning where I am. Lewis is on the road. He's in a hotel. He's the big shot. He calls the shots. He says, hey, I'm traveling. I'm in a hotel. Michael, get out of bed and do the show.
I know. I try to do it later. But honestly, if I'm being completely honest, Miss Bing, you are at your best very early in the morning.
The only problem is that now, because I like to get up, I have my coffee, and then I like to work out then and there. Because if I don't do it, then I might not do it for the rest of the day. Now, I'm in my workout stuff. I have shorts on here. I have my T-shirt. My plan is, as soon as I finish, go for my run and then do the rest of the shit that I do. But as I say, as the day passes on, you know what it's like, the momentum, you know, the desire, the ability, the energy to do so wanes as the day progresses.
Yeah, I know. That's what happened to me yesterday. Yeah, because I got Equinox passes while I'm here in Miami for three days, which fancy. I love. And it's all open down here. The steam room's open down here. No masks on the gym floor. Ooh, I love it, Daddy. It's my favorite thing in the world. So I went to Equinox, and the days was just wearing on me. The whole day was passing by, and I was like, I'm going to work out, I'll work out before dinner. And then 5:30 hit. I was like, dude, it's just not going to happen. So I just steamed. I didn't do anything. I just steamed last night.
You just steamed. Steamed. You know, a lot of people listening to this right now, Lewis, they're working dead-end jobs, okay? They're in the factory. They don't want to hear you. Oh, so I just steamed. Whilst I was traveling the world as a successful comedian, you know, on the road doing my podcast, so I just steamed.
They want to hear this. It inspires them. They see me, an everyman. They see me, a person who can barely speak the English language, on here every week with a champion and a legend, Michael Bisping, and they're like, if this guy can fucking do it, I can do it. So yeah, I'm out here inspiring the believers.
Oh, well, okay, very good. Obviously, we got UFC 260. Is it 261 or 262?
262, no?
262, yeah. I knew when I said 261, it didn't sound right. That's this weekend, so we're going to preview the main card, go through all the fights, give some predictions, because I'm not commentating, so we'll see where we end up with that. Lots of MMA news to get into as well. But before we do that, what's on your mind, Lewis? What's going on with you?
I don't know. I'm having a good time. I really am enjoying Florida. This is, Florida's a wild part to do. They don't really give a fuck. You know, the clubs are
never packed. Been on vacation, if you will, to Florida. Never really been there. I mean, I've been there with work, you know, for UFC stuff, but I've never on my own dime said, right, let's go to Florida.
You and your family, I think, would really enjoy Miami. Miami's like LA meets New York meets Cuba.
Sounds terrible. Why would I want to go there with my family? LA meets New York meets Cuba. I don't want to do that. I don't want to take my kids to a fucking hot mess. You know what I mean? Like, I've heard stories. I don't want to go there with the wife and kids. Okay. That sounds like more of a boys' trip destination.
Right. You know what? I'm reading between the lines
walking
here.
Walking down the street with my fucking three kids and my wife. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God. The girls in Miami are so hot too. It's ridiculous. I'm here with my girlfriend. So like, I have to just keep my head looking forward because it's so difficult to not just stare. Cause every person in Miami is gorgeous. Even like the old people are hot.
My trainer I used to have used to tell me some stories. They went to Razor Rob McCullough, went for a few fights, and apparently they got hit on big time because they were walking down the street and there's four guys. They're all buff. They're all in shape. They've all got the tank tops on with the muscles. And they said they never felt so good looking in their life because so many gay guys hit on them. Hell, and they're like, they kind of wanted to go back just for the ego boost. It's like, women never do this. But in Miami, I left feeling like my morale was through the roof.
I know. It's very funny when that happens. You get hit on by a gay guy. But then then there's the other side of it too. Speaking of steam rooms, where a guy will come on to you, and then you, I've never felt like I have so much empathy for women and the plight of being hit on and being creeped out by guys when you have a dude that's coming on to you and you're like, what the fuck is going on right now? How did I end up here?
I've been hit on many times. I'm sure I've told the stories on here because I got a couple of good ones.
Oh, the guy that went up to your room. I remember
the
that
guy
story.
That followed me up to the elevator in the room. There was another one recently when I was on an acting gig. I'm not going to go into those details, but it was very uncomfortable.
Because you sealed the deal? Why aren't you going to the details?
I didn't seal the deal, no, but I'm like, this is weird because as of right now, he hasn't actually done anything. Do you know what I mean? But there was a lot of touching. There was a little touching of the wrist. There was lots of leaning into me. And then he suggested that we went to a gay bar, and I'm like, I don't want to go to a gay bar, no disrespect, you know what I mean, I this is just not my. He said, no, Mike, trust me, that's where the hottest girls are. I'm like, I'm married, I don't want to go to a gay bar, okay? And he's like, no, come on. I'm like, anyway, no, I said, let's just go back to the hotel. And he's like, oh,
let's skip the bar.
Seriously, I was like, let's just go back to the hotel. He was like, oh, you're aggressive. I'm like, I'm not aggressive, trust me, I am aggressive if you touch me too much. Anyway, so we go back to the hotel, and then obviously, we're both staying there, and he goes to go towards the elevator. So I pretended I was going to go to the elevator. I went, I'm just going to get a drink. Night. And I went to the bar, and he follows me to the bar. And I went to one end of the bar, and he was on this side, right? And he's like leaning into me. So I shuffle over away, and he shuffles over again. No joke, within 5 minutes, and it was the end of the night, it was late, and it was a long ass bar. I'd say a 60-foot long bar. I'd gone from one end of the bar to the other. I was at the complete other end of the bar because he kept shuffling into me, right? And I'm like, oh my God. So then I get my beer and I just go, fuck this. Down my beer. I go, right, I'm going to bed. And again, he was like, oh, okay. And downs his beer and follows me off to the elevator. Hey, God bless him. God bless him.
He tried.
He did. And then we get in the lift and then he's like, oh, go for a drink in your room. I'm like, no, buddy. No drinks. I'm tired. Go to
What do they say? You miss all the shots you don't take, right?
Hey, fair play to him. Fair play. Hey, I was a good looking guy. I was a good looking guy back then. I was
trying to conceive, believe, and achieve.
Hey, why not? You're going to shoot your shot. You got to go for it. God bless him. You never know till you try. What else is going on, Lewis?
Nothing much. I did see this story. This is an MMA adjacent story, but I think it's kind of funny just because, I don't know, I sort of get a kick out of it when Tito Ortiz seems to be down at his luck now. did you see this story?
I know what you're going to talk about because it's everywhere right now. I follow most MMA Twitter accounts, so I think I know what you're going to say, but I'll let you talk us through it.
So apparently Tito Ortiz is being investigated for fraud because he got on unemployment while he was sworn in to be the pro tem mayor of Huntington Beach. So he, and I don't know all the details of the story, but apparently he's really pissed off because he's being accused and he's saying it's a politically motivated attack, but he's been collecting unemployment checks. And essentially he's been claiming that he's been out of work between December 2019 and January 2021, but he actually applied for unemployment 6 weeks after he was sworn in as the pro tem mayor, which pays him, $1,000 a month.
Yeah. Well, he is a city council member for Huntington Beach. He got voted in there, so good for him there. But it looks like he's found himself in hot water. If you follow a Twitter account, Full Contact MTWF, they go after Tito pretty hard on there. And they go after Brendan Sharp. We've been on there. Basically, anyone that says anything stupid in the MMA world, they feature on that page.
What is the page?
Full Contact. Well, it's Boichinha Depot, but it's at Full Contact MTWF. It's funny. And they do catalogue a lot of the ins and outs and the ups and downs, shall we say, of Tito Ortiz's political career. And they did cover that. I did see that story. So I read up on it a little bit today. And, it's unfortunate for him, but he seems to be finding himself in a bit of hot bother lately. But no doubt he'll blow over, I would have thought.
What is this you have on the screen, Brian?
Yeah,
I took unemployment because I haven't worked since December 5th of 2019. And as I went through the year of 2020, a pandemic started. I was paying my bills through my savings, and all of a sudden my savings started drying up. And around July, I seen online something about unemployment. I paid my due taxes over the last 23 years. I mean, at least $10 million worth of taxes. And I thought that, my family could use a little help right now. And I applied for it. I followed all the information that it asked me for. I followed it to a T. And I was receiving unemployment starting, I believe, June. I think I got my check the 1st of August, and they paid me every week. And it wasn't a great amount. I mean, $173 or $179 per week was barely paying for the food for my children.
Well, sounds fair enough. Sounds fair enough.
Yeah, I want to hate on him, but like he did make a great point that you pay your fucking taxes for that long. You put into it that much. You know, why should everyone else be able to take advantage of these programs when you're down on your luck? It's a tough pill to swallow, though, when you go from like, you know, being one of the most famous fighters in the world, multimillionaire, to, you know, collecting an unemployment check.
The only thing that made me laugh was when I read a story this morning. One of the things that he was struggling with, he couldn't afford to pay the lease on his Porsche. And I was like, okay, maybe don't say that one. But, Well, I hope it all gets figured out. You ever been on the dole, as we call it in England, Lewis?
No, I never have. I've always had a weird pride thing. Like my mom was on welfare in Section 8 and she was always on like public assistance, food stamps. And I was always so embarrassed about her getting like food stamps and public assistance that it just programmed into me that I just had too much pride. Even if I needed it, I would have had too much pride. I mean, when my son was born, I was stealing fucking baby food because I was that broke.
Yeah. Like,
but yeah, I don't know. I was probably stupid to do that as opposed to just getting public assistance, but.
Yeah, well, but I did a few stints on the dole when I was a kid. I think when I was about 18, you know, Clitheroe is a small town. There's not a lot of opportunity there, certainly if you've got no skills. I'd go into the job centre almost every single day. I'd walk in, I'd look at the boards and see what's up. And you try and apply for jobs and you just bullshit, you know what I mean? Whatever the skill is that they require, you just make it up. Say, yeah, I can do that. Forklift truck, yeah, no problem. Done that many, many times. Whatever it is, you just bullshit. Kind of like now when I'm acting, if I go for an audition, they're like, can you ride a horse? Yes, of course I can, which now...
I own one.
Yeah. I'm a horse owner, but whatever they want, can you speak in this accent? Oh, of course. Come on. You bullshit. But I remember I was going in the job center every day looking for a job. You know what I mean? So I'm fucking 18 years old. I want to work. Got no money. Life's shit. I'm like, come on. And I think, what was I getting? £49 a week, something like that. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough to go out on a Friday night and have a few beers. Anyway, I'm going in every day. I'm looking for a job aggressively, as I said. And then this guy calls me up from the job center one day and he says to me, Michael, I don't think you want a job. I went, what? He said, yeah, I don't think you truly want a job. And I lost my shit. Because as I say, I've been going in there every day. I said, wait there, because it's only a small town. I fucking hung up the phone
and then
sprinted to the job center as fast as my legs could carry me. And I can still remember to this day running through the Clitheroe Castle, the shortest way to the town center, and I'm running past the summer house fuming and fueled on pure aggression to have a go at this guy. Do you know what I mean? And I remember I ran into the job center and he's sitting there. And I'm like, and he didn't think I was going to get there that quick. He was like, oh shit, he's fucking here. I ran in with my skinhead and stuff. I'm like, who the fuck are you to call me up and say, I don't want a job? I said, you have seen me in this job center every single day. Anyway, he was kind of taken back. Bit of a scene in the job center, but walked out of there with a job, Lewis. You know what I mean? It paid off.
What a story.
Ah, there you go. Anyway.
What job did you walk out with?
It was shit. I can't remember what it was. It was temping at some factory somewhere. In fact, I think that might have been the job where I actually first laid eyes on Rebecca. So maybe if that guy didn't call me, it would have never happened.
Not maybe. That's 100% what would have happened. That guy calling you and telling you that you didn't want a job is the reason you're sitting where you're at right now.
I wouldn't go that far.
100%, baby. That's the butterfly effect. Yes. Yes. You would have never met Rebecca. You would have never gotten on The Ultimate Fighter. You talked about how important she was in that process.
Whoa.
Your whole life would have went down a completely different path. You'd be a loser right now. You'd be fat.
I'd like a little bit of credit for myself.
Dude, it's all that guy. It really does boil down to that one fucking phone call. That is interesting.
That fat, nerdy, hey, nothing wrong with being nerdy or having glasses. Fat. I wear glasses or fat, you know what I mean? But when you're trying to insult a guy, they're the words that come to mind. I'm going to go see him. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go into Clitheroe and pay homage to this man.
Hey, Mike, real quick, let's take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsor on today's show, Blue Chew. Love Blue Chew. What an incredible product. They've been with us for a long time, long-time sponsor. If you don't know, Blue Chew is essentially a performance enhancement drug for the bedroom. Bisping has been against performance enhancement drugs in the octagon his whole career. But for the bedroom, give it a go. That's what I say.
Well, listen, Lewis, I am against performance-enhancing drugs in the octagon, but in the bedroom, you know what I mean? That's a different kettle of fish. You want to make everybody happy. Of course, Blue Chew, as you know, if you listen to this show, there's no going to the doctors. There's no waiting in line. You just go online, bluechew.com. You speak to one of their affiliated physicians, and guess what? Bam, 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 shows up at the door, on the doorstep, discreet packaging, no one needs to know, and then you go to town. I mean, maybe you're having a little confidence issue in the bedroom. Maybe you're getting older, you know? Maybe you've just never been the stallion that you always wanted to be. But right now with this stuff, oh, giddy up, cowboy, let's go to town.
Maybe your wife's getting older. Maybe it's not your fault. Maybe your
wife's going through the menopause soon and you're fucking freaking out, okay? Don't mention it. Cold sweats, bad moods, tempers.
Buying fucking horses.
What is going on? Maybe your wife is going through a midlife crisis and you need to give her a good seeing to. Go to bluechew.com and check it out. Listen, here's the science. It contains the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but these can be taken on a full or an empty stomach, and the chewables, they work twice as fast. They get into your bloodstream a lot quicker than some of the other competition. So yeah, what more do you want? Go to bluechew.com right now and then use that code BELIEVE. All you're going to have to do is pay $5 in shipping. The medication for the first month is absolutely free. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So one more time, go to bluechew.com and use that code BELIEVE to receive your first month for free. Okay, where were we? Anyway, enough of that bullshit. We got lots and lots and lots to talk about. As I said, 262 coming up this weekend. Is there anything juicy, Harrington? Show yourself, my friend. Is there anything juicy that we should get into before we get into the breakdown of the fights and stuff like that? Any really, really juicy stories?
Well, I mean, define juicy.
Fucking hell, define juicy. Just what do you mean? A good story, something with teeth. Let's have a look. Where are the notes? I can't see the notes, Harrington.
So I've got a bunch of fun fight bookings. Just came out last night. Brett Okamoto reported a bunch of those. Is that juicy?
Yeah. Well, Derek Till versus Derek Till. Darren Till versus Derek Brunson. We're trying to get Darren Till on the show today. He was going to come on. Obviously, we shamed him. Hollywood Till, you know. He said he was going to come on, but obviously, we've got to do it early today. So, unfortunately, he's in training. He's fighting Derek Brunson, London, August 14th, I believe. That's what the rumors are saying. It's a great fight. I'll be commentating as well in London. My first time. Ooh. I'm very, very fucking excited. Tough fight. I don't know. It is. I mean, Derek is going to have to use his wrestling in that fight, but Darren's got really good takedown defense. So yeah. I do early favor Darren Till in that fight. I think it's going to be a good night for him, but Derek Brunson, no walk in the park.
But unfortunately, you can't say that publicly because you're going to be commentating.
So. I can't say that publicly. I didn't say that publicly. I'm just saying, oh, for fuck's sake, okay? I'm just saying it's a really, really good fight. Stylistically, Derek Brunson's going to have to use his wrestling for this one, and Darren Till's going to have to endeavor to utilize his incredible takedown defense. Okay?
And you favor no one.
I favor no one at all. I don't. I want Darren to lose, okay? The only one British champ. I want to talk about this, Luke Rockhold. Harrington, give us some, give us a Luke Rockhold impression if you want or whatever. But number four, please elaborate.
All right. So, like, Luke Rockhold is having a hard time, man. He can't find fighters in the top 10 middleweights. Here's the quote: I need to find a top 10 guy who's willing to sack up and ready to fight.
Sack up?
There's already multiple people in the top 10 making excuses for why they won't fight me. My last fight at middleweight was against Yoel Romero, who was missing weight for a title fight in Perth 2 years ago. So I've left the rankings, but I'm not really left the rankings. I think everyone's just making excuses for why they won't fight me, bro. I'm not just going to fight anyone. I want to fight something that gets me excited, gets the fans excited, something that makes somewhat of sense. So I want to come back and do this thing right.
How did he use so many words but say so little?
Yeah. Well, that's an art in itself. But I'll be honest. I agree with Luke Rockhold here. I agree with Luke. I think he will struggle to find a top 10 opponent because For all the bad luck, shall we say, what are you trying to get over there, Lou? Is it coffee? Is it a tea? I'm trying.
No. I'm sorry. There's a person in my room. Excuse me.
A few moments later.
Yeah, listen, I know it seems, I mean, Rockhold's fallen on some bad luck recently. He had a few knockouts. He lost to Jan Blachowicz. And of course, Jan Blachowicz has gone off and become the champion. So no shame in that. And I beat him and then Yoel beat him. So I think people aren't giving Luke Rockhold the credit that he fucking deserves. And maybe some people in the top 10 are, because I'm telling you, you know, Rockhold has taken some time away. Harrington, look up the last time he fought. I believe, what was it? 2019 International Fight Week against Jan Blachowicz. I think that was the last time he fought. So he's had about 2 years off, right? He's given his chin. And I don't know if it works like that. I don't know if you just need time off, because his chin seems to be susceptible these days to getting knocked out. I don't know if time away really fixes that, but it certainly ain't going to hurt. So he's had some time away and he's going to work on some skills. But I'm telling you, Rockhold could come back and potentially be a champion again.
Yeah, I mean, look, Rockhold's an extremely talented fighter. I know you like to bust his balls a lot. But I think you said, you know, a moment ago, I think the loss to Jan, I think it's not as damning now as it was at the time. At the time, it was almost like you were like, oh, shit, yeah, Rockhold, yeah, I don't know what to do.
He's done. He can't win a fight.
Trying to go up to 205, down to 185, it's not going to make sense. But now that Jan's champion and also looks so good lately, you're like, all right, well, you almost have to give him a pass on that. You know, Luke's
well, he just beat Izzy as well. He just took Izzy's undefeated record. You know, Jan Blachowicz is a tough cookie for anybody. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Rockhold in there again. You know, I really would. He's an exciting fighter to watch. I mean, look what he did to Chris Weidman. Remember what he did to Lyoto Machida. And Lyoto Machida was the fucking man back then. Of course, I'm going to big him up as much as possible, because after that dominant run, I would have knocked him out, okay? So he's the best fighter that the UFC has ever seen. No, I would like to see him again. I would. I think he brings a lot to the table, but,
Who's there at 185 for him?
Who's there at 185? Well, he called out, he mentioned Darren Till. That'd be an interesting fight, you know, that'd be an interesting fight. But obviously we've got Darren Till and Derek Brunson, so you'd have to wait for that. But still, what else we got? Fury versus Joshua in Saudi Arabia. That's August 14th as well, the same night as Darren Till versus Derek Brunson, allegedly. This is, Hamilton says, what is the definition of juicy? Well, what do you call juicy? I don't even want to get into this, but number six looks pretty fucking juicy. I mean, that's about as juicy as it can get. If you want some scandal and you want some a juicy talking point, number six, pretty juicy, but I don't like to kick a man while he's down.
Okay, well, here's the thing. It seems juicy, right? Just the headline.
Well, just tell the people what it is.
Stop saying juicy over and over again and just fucking say it.
Yeah, don't say it like that. It seems juicy.
Okay, well,
Tell the people. They need to know.
Okay, Anthony Rumble Johnson, following his win last week in Bellator in Mohegan Sun, went to a party where he was then arrested for identity theft. Apparently, he used someone else's credit card without their permission to buy a round-trip ticket from Fort Lauderdale to Newark, New Jersey, and he was arrested. He was released on a $500 bond.
So, as I say, I don't like to kick a man while he's down. So is this all going through? He's been arrested and charged and stuff like that? Because I did see a mugshot online. I like Anthony Johnson, and he's just come back. He got a great knockout, came out of retirement. I mean, it's a real shame for him. But unfortunately, if it's true, if he did steal someone's card, then he's going to have to pay the piper. I just want to say this. Not the smartest move. You steal someone's credit card and then buy a flight in your own name. Yeah. You know what I mean? I know I'm not a master criminal, but that seems like a little faux pas on his behalf.
You know, I don't know what's going on with Bellator, but Tito Ortiz, Rumble Johnson, you know, it seems like they're a little bit hard up. People complain about what the UFC pays their fighters, but Bellator, these guys are committing fraud, stealing credit cards, getting unemployment. It seems like a real issue over at Bellator.
Yeah, no. That's an interesting one. Yeah, well, listen, Rumble Johnson, I wish him the best, as I said. It's nice to see him out of retirement, but...
And maybe it's a big misunderstanding, right?
Maybe it is. You never know.
It's crazy to me. You said it yourself just now. You're like, it seems pretty stupid. In my mind, I'm going, there has to be more to this story. Because he's a famous fighter, okay? And we are busting balls about Bellator. No, but he's doing well. Anthony Rumble Johnson's a star in Bellator. He's doing well. A round trip ticket from Fort Lauderdale to Newark is a couple hundred dollars. This is not like there's a disconnect here. I there's something that we're missing, and I bet you something else comes out about this story.
Well, as you said, there's always two sides to every story. Sounds like we haven't heard his version yet. And who knows, maybe it was a disgruntled girlfriend or whatever. Maybe she said, yeah, use my credit card. And after that, they had a fallout. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. I'm coming up with excuses. Yeah, as I said, Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua solidified finally. August 14th, Saudi Arabia. I'm very, very excited for that one. I know we don't discuss boxing much, but it's the only shame for that is that it's not taking place in England. That's the biggest heavyweight boxing fight ever taking place in Saudi Arabia. But I get it. They're getting $75 million each. No offense to the jolly old people of England, but if someone offers me 75, I'll take the fight in Saudi Arabia as well.
Yeah, for $75 million, I'll take anything anywhere. That's literally that's my price to do anything.
I'll do it on the moon. Okay, simple as that. Dana White, now we won't get into that one. All right, okay. Harrington, you want to hammer fist us with anything before we do these fights real quick?
Yeah, sure. The first one of the notes here I think is kind of interesting. Islam Makhachev, he has an opponent now, the unranked Thiago Moises. The Russian is looking to extend his win streak to 8 in the contest that will take place on July 17th. My question for you guys, does it make sense for somebody like Islam Makhachev to be fighting, you know, somebody like Moises who, like I said, is unranked?
But the problem is for Islam Makhachev is that he's just so good that he's struggling to find fights right now. I mean, he's going out there dominating everybody in style. And Thiago Moises is, he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy in his own right. He's got good jiu-jitsu as well. So maybe he sees an opening for him to get a submission. But it is what it is. If people turn down fights, and again, I don't know. I'm not in those rooms. But that's the narrative is that Islam Makhachev has really been struggling to find opponents. If so, then fuck it. He's got one. Good for him.
Yeah, the what is Islam Makhachev ranked?
I don't know what he's ranked, but I know that he's gone. He's a killer. And dominated everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think that right now, I don't really have a problem with them fighting some other guys that are relatively unknown. He's not like, he's not a top five yet. There was a part in your book where you talked about having trouble finding an opponent. At one point, I remember who it was. You took the fight. You were sort of disappointed with the level of opponent that it was.
It was Jorge Rivera.
Yes.
When I fought Jorge Rivera, Islam is ranked number 10, Harrington said.
Okay.
Jorge Rivera. I got offered him, and I forgot what I was on. I was on a little win streak, and I didn't want to say... It wasn't because I was scared of him or nothing like that. I wanted a higher ranked opponent, but in the end, yeah. I was like, fuck it. I'll do what I do. I'll take what I can. And then he went out there and he was making all kinds of videos. We should bring some of them, but we should play them sometime. The motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen them in forever. I remember at the time it happening, and I remember rooting for Rivera because he was Puerto Rican from New Jersey.
El Conquistador.
It's basically my family. I mean, what am I going to do?
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, no, I was in Australia. My mate Jacko was in the room with me, my old road dog back in the day. And every morning we'd get up and he'd be at the computer and I'd be like, anything, Jacko? Any more shit from that dickhead? And he'd be like, oh, God. I don't want to show you mine, but yeah, he's done another video. And I would be like, this motherfucker. Honestly, they really worked. I was way more temperamental and emotional back then.
But in retrospect, isn't it kind of funny? Could you imagine yourself getting that worked up now over some silly videos?
All.
They were
not
kind of funny. They were cringy, but they were like funny in their own way. Like he was trying to do a funny thing, almost similar to how Jake Paul was doing his videos. So I'll give Jorge Rivera some credit.
No, zero credit. Give me some credit for knocking him out in the second round. All right, Harrington, what else you got before we get into these fights?
Okay, I got another one. I said
in that Rivera fight, if I saw him on the street, it was going to go down right then and there. And when I stepped into that cage, I wasn't going in there for a mixed martial arts contest. I was going in there to beat the crap out of him. So, yeah. Careful what you wish for. Harrington, go ahead.
Still a sore spot. Still a sore spot, everyone.
No credit, okay?
All right, so we talked about the Till versus Derek Brunson. There's another big... fight in the top five at middleweight that just got booked. Jared Cannonier versus Paulo Costa. My question for you gentlemen, which fight has the bigger title implication, Brunson versus Till or Costa versus Cannonier?
Oh, so Derek Brunson versus Darren Till, or what is it? Jared Cannonier, who's close, but he lost to Robert Whittaker. against Paulo Costa, who last fought against Israel Adesanya. I think if Darren Till beats Derek Brunson, he's got to be getting close. You know what I mean? Because he's been in razor close fights. You know what I mean? And he will get his title shot. And yeah, if he beats, I think that fight, to answer your question, has the higher title fight implications.
I completely agree. Yeah, I mean, Derek Brunson just had that massive win over
Kevin Holland.
So yeah, and then Darren Till, somebody who they love. Darren Till, they love Darren Till. He's got a whole country on his shoulders. They want to put Darren Till in those big fights, and if he could win a couple big fights in a row, he'll without a doubt get a title shot. Neither of these guys have fought for the title before, right? Whereas Paulo Costa has, and Jared Cannonier lost to the number one contender. So I see both Till and Brunson being a couple steps closer to a title shot than the other two guys.
Yeah, no, totally agree. All right, let's get into these fights. UFC 262 is here. It's upon us. We've got fans in the building again, so I'm very excited for that. I'll be sitting on my couch. I'll be doing some work for BT Sports. So if you're in the UK, check that out. I'll be with Adam Catterall and Nick Pete doing the weigh-in show tomorrow morning, doing the post-fight show Sunday morning. But in between that, nestled in between that, Lewis, is me on a couch trying to not have a beer, okay? But certain things call for a beer. I am still doing keto and a bit of beer. I'm doing keto and a bit less.
It's not keto.
It's low carb. It's a low carb lifestyle.
Keto is a very specific thing.
I know. But the food is based on a keto. And I like a little beer. So there you go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Put it in your pipe and smoke it. Keto with a bit of beer. First fight, let's go around here. And we'll push it. How are we feeling, guys? Are we putting a bit of money on this? Are we willing to put our, you know...
Or
money where our mouth is.
I sure am.
Okay, Brian's got balls. All right, Harrington, what is the opening fight on the main card? We'll let you do this. I know what it is, but we'll let you tee us up on the fights. We'll give our analysis, and then we'll go around the horn and give a quick prediction.
Okay, so I'm getting different things when I look on Google and on Wikipedia, but from what I'm seeing here...
Okay, opening fight is Shane Burgos versus Edson Barboza. You can go to a million fucking websites. That's the one.
Okay. Shane Burgos versus Edson Barboza. There you go. First fight.
Hurricane Shane. I was just allowing you your moment, Harrington, but you can't... You know what I mean? Did you go to Wikipedia?
So on Wikipedia, it says that that's a prelim fight. On Google, it's saying that that's a main card fight. So that's why I was confused.
My UFC knowledge and emails that I get every day, it says that it's opening the main card. So Hurricane Shane Burgos taking on Edson Barboza. I mean, do you know much about Hurricane Shane, Lewis? Because he's fucking awesome.
I just know that both these guys are going to go and fucking throw everything at each other. I don't really know much about him.
Yeah. Well, Edson Barboza, obviously, you know Edson. He's been around a long time. Some of the best kicks in the game. Just signed a new contract. He said he's very, very happy because he was talking about potentially just going to the open market. But he said he was very, very happy with the new contract that he got with the UFC. And he still got, you know, hunger to be the champion at 145. Shane Burgos, last time we saw him, he lost to Josh Emmett in a really, really good fight. Probably one of the best three-round fights you'll ever see. I mean, Shane Burgos, I'm really impressed with this guy. He's got a tremendous chin. He lost to Josh Emmett. It was a close fight, but in the third round, he got dropped a couple of times. But he's still got so much potential. And in this fight, I think what you've got is Edson Barboza. He's going to be, you know, more from the kicking approach. Shane Burgos likes to use the boxing. You know, of course, on the floor, I'd give Barboza the edge. But I just think... I think Barboza's got a lot of miles on the clock. I mean, Harrington, what's his record and how many losses does he have recently? I mean, you know what I mean? And I, again, I'm always hesitant to say this about fighters. I say, oh, they've got miles on the clock. Doesn't mean they can't win, you know, but it is a factor in trying to pick a winner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a point where miles on the clock, where experience turns into miles on the clock, right?
It's like this. I'm looking at the miles on my actual car and I'm like, I got to trade this in. I got to get a new one. Do you know what I mean? The miles are getting a little bit high. UFC roster, miles are getting high. You know, your wife, maybe trade her in, better bodywork, younger model, doesn't break down quite as often. You know what I mean? It is the circle of life, whether you're a married woman, a married man, a car, or a UFC fighter.
Oh, my wife, the check oil light's always coming on.
Oh, God, every time.
Yeah, she makes a weird noise on the left side.
Harrington?
So to answer your question, Edson Barboza is 2-5 in his last 7 in the UFC. Shane Burgos is 6-2 in his UFC career.
Yeah. Still, I expect a competitive fight. Even saying that, you know, Edson Barboza doesn't really get dominated. You know what I mean? He's a very, very exciting fighter. I got Shane Burgos, though. Harrington with a finger up at the back.
Well, so a lot of those wins for Barboza, though, were at lightweight. You know, he had the loss to Felder, Gaethje, Lee, and Khabib all at lightweight. Since dropping down to featherweight, he's got a split decision loss to Dan Ige and then went out last time against Marwan Amirkhani and got a pretty dominant decision win there. So 145, at least it seems to be his chin is holding up.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, well, I got Shane Burgos. I think Shane's going to go out there and do it. I love Barboza, so I hope he can go out there and prove me wrong. But what are we doing? We're putting some BIM coin down on this, some BYM coin?
Yeah. I guess Brian's starting us over. We have 10,000 BIM coin to play with.
All right. Is that for this card? We have 10,000 BIM coin. We've just complicated matters majorly for everyone listening. They're like, we don't have BIM coin. We're not interested. Oh, God. Oh, whoever has the most BIM coin. I'm going to put 1,000 BIM coin on Shane Burgos to win. Lewis, who you got?
Don't
just copy my pick.
It's not just copying your picks. I'm copying your analysis, which momentum is real, right? He's 6-2 in the UFC.
If you just copy and make the pick.
Shane Burgos.
You can't just repeat what I said. The people have heard it. If you've got something different to say.
No. I don't. So
exactly.
Go.
You said, I'm copying the analysis, and then you were going to repeat the analysis. No need.
I was going to.
We've done it. Harrington, go.
So Hurricane Shane, you're going to get him at between -130 and -140. Edson Barboza is about a +120 underdog in the fight.
Okay, yeah, but who are you picking?
Oh, I'm going to take whatever it would be to do. It would be 2,600 to win $2,000 on Shane.
No. We're just doing this for our own. We're not doing the odds, Lewis. Harrington, whoever has the most BIM coin at the end.
Well, in that case, then, $2,000 on Shane Burgos. Done.
Okay. All right. So everyone's copying me. Brian, do you have a set of balls? Are you willing to go against the grain?
You know,
the
greatness? I am. I'm going to put $2,000 on Edson Barboza.
Do I have to bet on this fight?
You don't have to. You can step aside. You can boycott it.
I might be betting on this fight. This one doesn't excite me.
All right. You don't feel confident, do you not?
We're just getting even money back on all these bets, too. It's a little weird. We need to think about this a little bit more.
No, we're just doing a little in-house competition. That's all. Do you know what I mean? We're not even putting imaginary coins. These aren't real coins. These aren't Timmy coins, which everybody should sign up for. Go ahead. We're doing a competition, a Timmy coin BYM competition. Everyone's going to make a lot of money out of it. But still, fight card.
Powered by Cardano?
Yes, it is, actually. Powered by Cardano.
Cardano's doubled in price. So, yes, I would say Timmy Coin is a good bet.
Okay. So, according to Wikipedia, Matt Schnell and Rogério Bontorino, the opening card, the opening fight on UFC 262. So, we've done the second fight. Matt Schnell, Rogério Bontorino. What do you say, Lewis? Oh, it's wow, everybody, with your analysis on that one.
You know what?
Them up quickly.
Hold on, wait a minute. If you can't give the analysis on it, how do you think I'm going to?
Lewis, please. You are an authority on mixed martial arts. While I look at Wikipedia, figure out his records, his wins, his loss ratio, his style, perhaps. I want you to wow them with your brilliance on Matt Schnell. Go.
I was going to tell you that I actually have already forgot their names. You said them 30 seconds ago.
Matt Schnell coming into this with a record of 15-5 losses, 15 Ooh. Wins recently, got a victory over Tyson Nam on the Chiesa versus Magny card in January 20th of 2021. Taking on Rogério Bontorino. I know Rogério, I've commentated a couple of his fights. It's going to be a good fight. He lost his last two to Kaikara France, and before that, he lost by a decision to Ray Borg. Real quick on this one then, guys. What have you got? Who are you taking? Just take a punt. Go for it.
Well, with flyweights, I tend to go with the better wrestler, simply because I don't think those guys necessarily have the power to knock each other out. So the guy who can get people down and keep them there and just score points in Matt Schnell is the guy who I'm going to pick for that fight. I'll put a G on that.
Same here. I got you. Same. I'll put a G on that as well. Lewis, what have you got?
I'm opting out of this one as well. I don't like it.
Jesus fucking Christ, Lewis.
I don't like it.
Opt out of everything. Brian, please tell me you have a set of balls.
Of course I do.
I'm imaginary gonna, cash that no one's going to owe anything on.
I think I'm just going to bet against you the whole time.
Wow. Do it.
That works out sometimes.
It does. And you can go fuck yourself. All right. What's the next one, Harrington?
Next one up is Caitlin Chookagian, the number 2 ranked flyweight, taking on Vivian Araújo, the number 7 ranked flyweight.
Yeah, okay. So Caitlin Chookagian, she's fought a lot of the big names in that division. She actually fought the champion, I believe, as well, if I'm not mistaken. Vivian Araújo, she's very good as well. She's a tough lady. I've got Vivian Araújo in this one. I'm going to put 1,000 down. So far, I've done 4,000. I've got Matt Schnell, I've got Shane Burgos, and I've also got Vivian Araújo. Lewis, Harrington, Brian, tell me. Caitlin Chookagian versus Vivian Araújo, who you taking?
I love Caitlin Chookagian. I love her, okay?
Choo-choo.
But guess what?
You're opting out of this
one. I'm opting out of this one. I'm betting on this one.
You're rolling on the main and co-main.
I'm rolling on the main and co-main, baby boy.
Harrington, make it quick.
I'm going to go...
Not fast enough. Sorry, boycotted. Brian, what have you got?
Caitlin Chookagian to win this one.
Yeah, simply because I said Vivian Araújo. Okay, no, Harrington, come back on. Oh, no, go on ahead. Brian, finish your thought. Harrington, get off. Brian, finish your thought.
It's just because...
It's like Abbott and Costello bit right now. It's coming off, going on, coming in, coming out.
Just because America.
Just because America. Yeah, fair enough. I like your logic. Yeah. Harrington.
Caitlin is the number 2 ranked fighter in this division for a reason. She's only lost to the elite of the division. So in that case, I'm going to go with Caitlin.
Wow. Bisping.
Did you put for the BIM coin on that? Sorry.
Yes, we put some fucking BIM coin. Give us a number. That's the whole bit. That's what we're doing. We're betting imaginary money that no one else can get involved in to engage.
But are we betting each other? This is what I don't understand. Are we betting each other or are we betting on the person giving the odds on it?
I don't know. Brian complicated the matters by throwing into the chat 10,000 BIM coin reset. I don't know the rules.
Maybe
I
didn't think about this all the way through.
Here's what I think we should do. We don't have to do the odds right now. Harrington, you can maybe throw them out. We don't have to do the math on it.
Don't do the odds. That's fucking very
But you should get paid the odds. So if you put $1,000 on Araújo.
No. Here's the way it should be. It's very simple. If you bet $1,000, you double your... If you win, you double your money. And then at the end of it, whoever has the most.
But why wouldn't we just make Harrington do the math on the odds? Because it's a better game.
All right. Because Harrington's a moron, and you think that's going to come back accurate?
It won't be there. There's not that many bets.
He is kind of Rain Man with betting, though.
Yeah. That's the one thing.
He's kind of Rain Man in a lot of ways. Yeah. Not just with betting.
I will tell you right now, Harrington is very good at poker. I played poker with Harrington twice, and he cleaned up everybody. And it was like, in my head, I'm going like, how are you so poor? Like, what is going on here? Like, how have you not parlayed that skill into making a little bit of money?
No. Harrington is surprisingly intelligent. He is. Yeah. He is. He just has no common sense. He's like my wife.
Smarts.
You know what I mean? My wife, like, is very smart. She'll come out with something because I'll be, like, arguing with a point in my mind. I'm like, and she'll just put it into words perfectly. And I'm like, yes, there you go. That's it. But then she'll go do something absolutely so moronic. I'm like, what are you doing? This is the same person that told me what to say a moment ago, and this is the behavior you're doing. So it's the same with Harrington, you know. Yeah. Rain Man. He's very Rain Man-esque. Yes, there you go.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
All right, co-main event then.
Okay. Tony Ferguson versus Beneil Dariush.
Finally, something we can talk about with authority. Let's talk about this fight. I always want to tread carefully with Tony Ferguson. You know, the man's to be respected. You know, he really is. He's been around for a long time. What was he on? A 7-fight win streak, I think it was, yeah. At one stage, 7 or 8, I believe. He was booked to fight Khabib, 3 or 4 times. Those fights fell through for a variety of reasons. So he actually won the interim lightweight championship at one stage of his career, you know, and then when he finally got to do it again against Justin Gaethje, you know, gets outstruck, lost quite badly, stopped in the 4th or 5th, I believe it was, while standing up. The man's got a great chin. And then he lost again to Charles Oliveira in his last fight. Go on, Harrington.
12-fight win streak heading into that Gaethje
fight. Wow. 12-fight. Shit, I had no idea it was that high. The problem for Tony Ferguson is that, and it's why he's so popular, is that he fights, you know, in a reckless way a lot of the time. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have skill. The guy has tremendous skill. He's got a great wrestling game. He's got excellent jiu-jitsu, and he's got very, very effective striking, beautiful knees and elbows. But the man's super aggressive, and he walks people down. They call him El Kikui, the zombie, the Mexican bogeyman, or whatever it is. Excuse me. And he's true to that. He walks people down. But a lot of the time in the first round, he kind of gets his ass kicked. You know, look at the fight against Lando Venata. Lando, if you can remember that, fuck me, he gave Tony a lot of problems. And that was Lando Venata's first fight in the UFC. He took it on short notice. I was like, wow, a newcomer is going to come and end Tony's streak. Then when he fought Kevin Lee, again, prime example, Kevin Lee got off to a fantastic start at the end of the first round. Kevin Lee was on top of him, mounted, dropping elbows. But he turns it around with his toughness because he's so fucking tough. The problem with that kind of style is that it's not conducive to a long career. And I think, I don't know, and I hope Tony proves me wrong, but I think we're starting to see that style, you know, catch up with him. And just look up his age, please, Harrington, because I think, what is he, 36 or 38 years old? You know, he's not a young man, right? So, again, the slowdown, he's on the decline a little bit. He's taken a lot of damage throughout his career. I'm not saying he can't win this fight, but I'm just saying that perhaps we're starting to see maybe the beginning of the end.
Yeah, he did look a little bit different in the last couple of fights than he's looked in the past, right? And you know, you anybody can see that, obviously. Just a beat behind the usual intensity that he sort of comes with, right? And Beneil Dariush is on a 6-fight win streak. But I will say right now, this is also the biggest test of Beneil Dariush's career, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's actually more interesting than I think it looks at first, because I'm looking at Beneil Dariush. The last time he lost was to Alexander Hernandez. That's a couple of years ago.
And that was, I don't want to say a fluky punch, because fluky punch is a little disrespectful to Alexander Hernandez, but Hernandez just kind of caught him right after about 40 seconds into the first round. You know what I mean? And it was a good shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Since then, he's gone on a 6-fight win streak. His knockout over Jakar Close, that was unreal. That was like one of the fight of the year contenders last year, because Beneil was in all kinds of trouble. Jakar Close caught him with a couple of big shots. Then in round 2, he knocks out Jakar Close. It was a lot of fun. Then he knocked out Scott Holtzman, had a split decision win over Carlos Diego Ferreira, who was on a roll back then. It's a tough fight. It's a great fight. In terms of jiu-jitsu, they both match up well on the ground. Beneil Dariush came into this as a jiu-jitsu guy. Now he's got knockout power. Trains with Rafael Cordero down at King's MMA. Trust me, that man knows how to teach people to strike. Comes from the legendary Shooter Box. One of my coaches that I used for a little bit was a guy called Gerson Chilipatrick, and he was one of the founding members of Shooter Box in Brazil as well. And I used him for a little bit. And I got to say, the tricks that they have, those guys from Shooter Box, that with the Muay Thai. I mean, I've been doing it for a long, long, long time. I've been training in kickboxing and all the rest of it. Lived in Thailand for months, You know, I trained with this guy, Gerson, and he showed me some new things that I'd never seen before. So those shooter box guys, they're fucking good.
Give me an example.
No, some new drills, you know, stuff like that thing. Just, I can't give you an example off the top of my head, you know what I mean? But it was like, it was very, very good stuff. Very good, very aggressive, you know. And then we turned up one day, and me and a training partner, we had the knee and elbow pads on, you know, and I'd never done that before. He's like, okay, you're going to spar today, knees and elbows only. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a really good way to work your knees and fucking elbows. Also a good way to get your head sliced open. But he showed up with the big elbow pads, the big knee pads. You know what I mean? If you want to get good at your knees and elbows, you need to throw them in training, which is a hard one. It's hard to do that in training because they're so high risk for cuts and you know, and things like that, getting injured. But if you have the big pads on, you can get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm excited about this fight. This fight's actually really exciting. Yeah, I like Beneil Dariush in this fight. I do. And I think Tony's great, and I think this is going to be a closer fight than maybe people think. What are the odds on that, actually? Is Beneil Dariush a big favorite? He must be.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Harrington, just look that up and chime in when you've got that.
All right. I have Dariush as a -175 favorite. Tony Ferguson is getting about +150 back.
Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously Tony's last loss as well to Charles Oliveira. He's fighting in the main event for the lightweight title. I'm just trying to think of it. Put yourself in Tony's shoes. You know what I mean? You're Tony Ferguson. You were destined for greatness. Well, he has had a great career. He's a very, very highly respected member of the mixed martial arts community. But he wanted to be the champion. Champ shit only. Talks about it on his Twitter all the time. CSO, champ shit only. He was obsessed with that. He went on a crazy 12-fight win streak, loses to Gaethje, and then loses to Charles Oliveira. And what I'm saying here is, imagine you're Tony Ferguson and you're there. You're in Houston, Texas right now. And the guy that you just lost to, Charles Oliveira, is fighting for the fucking belt. Do you know what I mean? Imagine what that does to you after spending so many years in the octagon, after having 12 wins in a row, supposedly four matches with the legendary Khabib. You know, you were on the path to be the champ, then you lose two in a row, one to Gaethje, no shame. Then he got dominated, looked a little off against Oliveira. It was a bad night at the office. Let's put it down to that. And then now that guy's there. And in the words of Nate Diaz, you're taking everything I worked for. Do you know what I mean? He's getting a shot against Michael fucking Chandler, who's had one fight in the organization. Now, I understand why he's had one fight in the organization. But if you're Tony Ferguson, you're sitting there and you're seeing all this unfold. You're seeing all the spotlight attention on Oliveira and on fucking Michael Chandler. Do you know what I mean? And that has got to drive you insane.
Yeah. Yeah, or motivate you, or light a real fire under your ass. You know, maybe he's looking at that, and he's the best thing for him is looking over and seeing the guy who just beat him being in his spot. He goes, you know what? I'm right fucking there. I'm truly only a fighter. Dude, let me tell you something. If Tony comes out and beats Beneil Dariush in exciting fashion, and he can get that win, he's right back there. He is right back there. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, no, I hear knocking in your apartment. Is that the security trying to throw you out, Lewis? Yeah.
Guys, we're going to be out of here in about 15 minutes, okay? Thank you.
Yeah. We'll leave that bit in, Brian. I could hear it. Lewis is there. We had some bits edited out earlier, but Lewis is essentially taking a hotel room hostage right now.
I lied. So I guess we can say what happened before. They came in security and they were like, yeah, you're not supposed to be here. And I lied to them and I told them I asked for a late checkout, which I did ask for a late checkout, and they said they could not give me because they were oversold. So now they just keep on coming back and interrupting the show because they're trying to kick me out of the hotel.
And I knew you were lying, and you could have said we could have done the show later in the day. We could have had Darren Till on. We would have had no interruptions.
I said we could have done it later in the day.
I said, you tell me which one you want.
I know. And then I said, let's do it earlier. Let's get it out of the way.
Listen, here's the thing, you know, for Tony Ferguson, as you said, maybe it will fuel him. But this is the hard part of being a fighter, you know, because the physicalities, they're always there. I talk about this, the mental side of things, the mental pressure. So if you're Tony Ferguson now, it's all about perspective of how you look at these things, you know what I mean? And it's how he copes with that mentally, because he is in a high-pressure situation and he has got his last person to beat him that he's fighting for the belt on the same card, getting all the media spotlight. He's got this guy, Michael Chandler, coming in. One terrific win, and he's fighting
that would be the one that would bother me if I was telling
That's going to bother him a lot. So if he allows that to And by the way, Michael Chandler deserves to be in this position. He was a champion for Bellator, knocked out Dan Hooker in spectacular style. It's just the way the chips have fallen. And he's got to deal with that. But he can't allow himself to have a victim mindset. And I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying some people may. And if he has this victim mindset and he's pissed off and it's all negative, angry emotions, again, I'm not saying he has these. I'm saying there's a potential for this. If he does have that, it's really going to go against him. He's going to be happy. He's going to be like, all right, well, fuck it. Now it's all about me showing the world that I'm not done, that I've still got this. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to fucking destroy Beneil Dariush. And then I'm going to call out the winner of that fight. You know, but this is kind of, it's a high pressure situation to go from winning 12 in a row to potentially losing 3 in a row. That's a, you could argue it's a big fall from grace. You know what I'm saying?
It is, but he did lose to the best of the best, right? So 12 in a row and then losing to the two best guys in the division outside of Khabib, right? I don't think that there's that much of a... Look, he just didn't look as good in those fights either. It's not so much just losing. It's also he just didn't look like the same Tony. So maybe there was a mental block there. Maybe the pressure was getting to him. Who knows? There's a lot of shit going on. I have friends right now losing their mind because of the pandemic. I have like I know this whole quarantine thing fucks with people's heads. So maybe that has something to do with it as well. Because Tony has always seemed a little bit like... I don't want to say... he's a wacky dude. He's a wacky dude. Simple as that. And, you know, I could see, you know, psychological issues becoming barriers for him. And if he got through those, maybe that's all he needs. So to be honest with you, I'm rooting for Tony. I really am. I'm rooting hard for Tony in this fight. And I think he can get it done. Just from a pure logical standpoint, I have to pick Beneil Dariush.
Yeah, no. I agree. I'm also picking Beneil Dariush. Dariush has got, as I said, he's got a lot of power. He's got great striking now. Wrestling game is good. Excellent jiu-jitsu. He's on a lot of momentum. And I hope I'm wrong, but I do believe that this is a tough fight for Tony Ferguson. And I believe that if he loses this, you know, then he's... career trajectory has changed dramatically. You know, the graph was going up and now it's going down. And I think he feels that and he sees that, you know, and that's, it's going to be hard for him. You know, it's a hard stylistic matchup. The momentum is shifting against his favor. But if there's one man that can go out there and prove everybody fucking wrong, it is Tony Ferguson. Winning 12 fights in a row in the UFC is incredibly difficult, and he managed to do that. He's 37 years old. So, again, he's not getting any younger, but the mind's a powerful tool. Regarding the pandemic and the mental side of things, as you said, people have struggled with that, and Tony Ferguson has had, you know, some mental health issues in the past. A couple of years ago, you know, he had a couple of struggles. But I think, to be honest, him losing was more to do, you know, losing to two very good people in the UFC, Justin Gaethje and then Charles Oliveira. Charles Oliveira is fucking ridiculous. We'll get to that right now. So I'm going to say, unfortunately, Beneil Dariush, how many fucking Bimcoin, Lewis? Are you going to get... You're going to put your fingers into the coffers? You got 10,000 Bimcoin. You're yet to make a bet. You're an embarrassing human being.
I'm going to put 300 Bimcoin on Beneil Dariush.
You have 10,000.
Oh, 3,000. I apologize.
Yes.
These are all arbitrary numbers. We could have had 10 Bimcoin and I could have put three.
Yeah. It would have been easier to just say it like that. But fucking Brian, Brian said, let's make it 10,000. I have Beneil Dariush winning. What have I? 2, 4, 6. I don't know what I've got left. I'm putting some on Beneil Dariush. Harrington and Brian, who do you have in the main? Co-main, pardon me.
I think there's a chance Tony Ferguson turns back the clock. I mean, he said going into that Oliveira fight, he trained a total of like 3 hours of jiu-jitsu or something like that for an entire fight with the guy who was the most submission victories in the history of the UFC. Clearly looked uncomfortable on the ground, didn't look like Tony, like Lewis was saying. But I think he did take the necessary time off and got himself reset. And I think Beneil Dariush is the perfect test for somebody to be like, all right, is Tony Ferguson still an elite top five guy? And I think he still can be.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Brian?
I agree with Mike. I think Tony's only lost to the best dudes in the division. And, you know, this is a test for Beneil Dariush more than it is for Tony Ferguson. I'm always on team Tony.
Well said, Brian.
Yeah, nice. I like to see Tony Ferguson getting some love, you know, but I think Beneil does it. Anyway, main event, Michael Chandler taking on Charles Oliveira, as we said, the last man to beat. Tony Ferguson. Charles Oliveira has been around for a long time. He's got the most submissions in the UFC at 14. He's got a few knockouts on there as well. And if you just look at Charles Oliveira, Harrington, just look up his age. I'm not sure how old he is, but he seems like he's really coming into his own now. You know, I saw a video of him hitting pads this week, and he's just hitting pads with a different intensity. It's like he really believes in himself now, and he's like, fuck that. I'm going to walk people down. I'm going to knee them in the face. I'm going to elbow them, and I'm doing it with fucking authority. Yeah, he's only 31 years old. And just when did he make his UFC debut, please, Harrington? He's been around for a long time. The most submission victories at 14, at 31 years old. I mean, that's fucking insane, Harrington.
UFC debut in 2010.
So when he was 20 years old, you know what I mean? And he's athletically, I would say at 31, he's in his prime right now, you know? And now maybe so, I think something's clicked with Charles Oliveira. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes, you know, he had a few losses, you know, here and there that can, you know, affect the confidence. I believe that now he's really coming into himself. He believes in himself. He's got the most UFC victories. He's got knockout power. He just dominated Tony Ferguson. Everything's trending in the right direction for him here. You know, and I believe that Charles Oliveira is going to give Michael Chandler a hell of a fucking fight. On the flip side, though, Chandler, go on, Lewis. I'll let you jump in before I get into Chandler.
No, it's okay. Yeah, look, I think that Charles Oliveira is incredible. You know, Michael Chandler, it's still a weird thing because he's somewhat untested, right? So, look, the Dan Hooker fight, it was an incredible performance. But so in retrospect, it was like he blitzed him. You know, I don't want to – it's obviously not lucky at all. And I think he beats Dan Hooker 10 out of 10 times, to be honest with you. But I don't know that fight, in my opinion, warranted a title shot. You know, he did lose the Bellator title. It's not like he walked into the UFC with a Bellator title around his waist. I think it's a little bit preemptive and it's a really tough fight. It's really tough because if he comes in with that same intensity, he could technically blitz, but I don't know, dude. Charles Oliveira, he's been around for so long. He's been in the UFC for 11 years fighting high level competition. I don't see it happening. What's funny is as I started talking about it, I thought I was going to start leaning toward Chandler, but I'm convincing myself that Charles Oliveira is going to win this fight, but it's really, really exciting. I mean, the thing you said before about Michael Chandler deserving to be there, do you think that? Do you really believe that he deserves to be fighting for a title right now?
Yeah, let's talk about that because I'm not sure what his actual record and stuff is. I didn't follow Bellator too closely, but here's the thing, right? He came into the UFC with a ton of hype. He was going to be the backup fight for Khabib versus Justin. You know what I mean? He was doing all the right things. Came in with a lot of hype. Former champion from a different organization that always, you know, and he was highly ranked throughout the world outside of just the UFC. In the fight with Dan Hooker, I mean, yes, he knocked him out beautifully, but it was the setup that... that really impressed me because he was going forward. Dan Hooker knew that Michael Chandler was going to shoot a takedown. So Hooker was circling around the octagon to his right the whole time, circling. And he became very predictable in his movements. I think for the first round, was it the first round or the second round? It was the first round. But the entirety of the fight, he was circling to his right the whole time. And Chandler was chasing him, following him around the octagon, cutting the cage off, circle, circle, circle. And he was coming to the body with a right hand. And because he's going that way to the right, he's open to the left. So Dan Hooker set the trap perfectly. He's circling that way, that's fine. If you circle that way, you throw a left hook because they're going to come right onto it. And he came to the body first. That brings the hands down a little bit. And then, boom, he knew the body was moving that way, caught him with the left hook. And it was fucking sensational. And that was that. On top of that, they offered Dustin Poirier the title fight. He turned it down to go after McGregor, which I get. Khabib Nurmagomedov had just retired, right? So he's out the equation. Justin Gaethje had just got beaten very, very handily off Khabib Nurmagomedov. So again, he was kind of out of the equation. So there you have it. You have Michael Chandler, that just made an impressive debut, that has had a ton of promotional hype as well. Knocks out Dan Hooker on the co-main event of Conor versus Dustin. So a lot of people know who he is, you know. So I understand him getting the title fight. I do. I do understand it.
Who has gotten a title fight? We were just talking about this, about people getting title fights that fast coming into the UFC. Anderson Silva is the only person who's done that. One fight, impressive win. He beat Chris Leben in his debut And that was a fucking impressive debut. That was as impressive as it gets, because it was probably even more impressive than Chandler, only because I think Chris Leben was more of a, like, just known as the Iron Chin. He was going to come in and fucking, you know, so, I would say more of a household name coming off the Ultimate Fighter. So I think the way Anderson did it, and also he landed every single shot. It was just a perfect execution of everything. But I think that this is the only other time we've seen somebody get one win in the UFC and then fight for a title immediately.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I can't think off the top of my head of anybody else. I do know I talked about Yuri Prochazka when we had him on, saying, wow, that's crazy. Two fights and you might get a title shot. Everyone in the comments and on Twitter and everyone, wow, you're just going to forget about Michael Chandler like that? Okay, slipped my mind, okay? You people have the benefit of a computer or whatever when you're here and you're hosting a show and I'm just looking into the camera, right? The little thing might slip my mind now and again. Okay, go fucking sue me. Michael Chandler is a new addition. He's only had one fight, so he's not at the forefront of the mind. But still, Chandler, I think he's more athletic. Chandler has the better wrestling. I think Chandler has the bigger power for sure. But Oliveira just has this fucking style that he's going to walk him down. I think if Oliveira is going to win this fight, he can't do what fucking Dan Hooker did and circle away. He's going to have to walk him down. And a lot of the time, the best takedown defense, and again, I don't think Chandler's really going to look for takedowns either. I don't think it's a smart move for Michael Chandler to take down the guy with the most submissions in the UFC. We've seen how aggressive Oliveira is off his back. The man throws up submissions from everywhere. Tremendous sweeps. I mean, the guy's jiu-jitsu is beautiful. It is fucking beautiful, right? So I think if he just walks Chandler down, puts him on the back foot, that's going to play into the game of Oliveira. As a wrestler, you're not really, you know, a lot of people can't strike going backwards. They can strike going forwards. Some people can. Most people can't. They kind of wilt. When they get pressured, they go backwards. They make mistakes. When they back up, the chin comes up in the air because they're not used to doing it. I used to do it when I backed up. Perilla was like, Mike, every time you go back, the chin comes up in the air. It does. You, instead of coming back like this, you're coming back like that and you're trying to keep them away, trying to keep them at bay. So if Oliveira walks him down, pokes him on the back foot, gets him up against the fence and uses those knees in the clinch and the elbows that he has, I think this is a closer fight. Is it Chandler's the big favorite again, right?
Is he?
Harrington, is he?
I mean, not particularly. Close. No, Oliveira is actually a slight favorite.
He is.
You can get him between minus 125 and minus 130. Michael Chandler out there between plus 110 and plus 120.
Very close. I'm so torn. I'm so torn on who to pick in this fight.
Me too. Honestly, I really am so torn. I'm going to say Charles Oliveira. Charlie fucking Olives. Let's go. Right? Most submissions in the UFC. What's he on? And what's the win streak of this man right now?
Eight-fight win streak, I believe.
Eight-fight win streak. Let's have a look at his record. Hold on. That's not even the right person. That's Michael Chandler. Charles Oliveira. Yeah, the man's a stopping machine. Eight wins, and I think six of them were by stoppage. Submissions with one knockout over Jared Gordon. Then he beat Kevin Lee by a guillotine. Beat Tony Ferguson.
All stoppages, by the way, except for the Tony fight.
Yeah. So, you know, and as I said, I think at 31 years old, now he's really coming into his prime. There's just something about, I saw the way he was hitting pads and the way he was just truly believes in himself and having that kind of win streak, having those kind of stoppages, beating Tony Ferguson, that all solidifies what your support team is telling you, what your coaches tell you, what your fans tell you and your family. Oh, you're the best. When you go out there and you have those kind of performances, that you really start believing it. Maybe he didn't believe in himself in the past. Maybe there was some things going on in his private life. Who knows? I don't know. But the man's on a roll right now. So fuck it. Charlie Olives for the win by a submission. There you go.
Ooh, wow.
All my Bitcoin. Empty the tank.
Yeah, I'm going to put all... Fuck.
Don't copy everything I say.
I'm not.
You're going to copy my bet.
No, I'm thinking about going Somebody. Against you. I think I'm going against you. I think all I'm going to pick Michael Chandler. Bet. I'm putting my other $7,000 on Michael Chandler. I like the fact that he's a little bit of an underdog. This is what's swayed my decision. Because I'm going to put my BIM coin and say I'm going to win all this money back. I'm really split down the middle. I couldn't truly tell you who I think is going to genuinely win. Same. But it's just as simple as that. Like, I think that Chandler it's almost like this is the fight that we're going to know how fucking good Michael Chandler is, right? I think that last fight, he looked incredible, obviously. But if he can go and do that to Charles Oliveira, I think we not only, if he wins this title, we could have a long time champion. I mean, he has the style to do it, dude. He really is very explosive, incredible wrestling, super athletic. Also, very good looking dude, very marketable guy. There's a lot of factors. I understand why the UFC put him in this position. Completely understand why. I was just sort of questioning whether or not the win over Dan Hooker was enough. But I will pick Michael Chandler in this fight, but just very slightly. And half the reason is because you picked Charles Oliveira.
Yeah, no, it is one of those fights. But if you look at Michael Chandler, and as you say, he's getting a ton of promotion. He speaks well. He looks good. You know what I mean? He's a guy that if
he adopted a kid. I mean, come on,
he's a guy you want to put forward as a representation or representative of the UFC. You know what I mean? He ticks all those boxes. But lost to Eddie Alvarez via split decision. Lost to Will Brooks split decision. Lost to Will Brooks in the rematch via TKO. Lost to Brett Prime by a doctor stoppage, and then his last loss was to the champion Patricio Pitbull for Herrera. He's on a 3-fight win streak though. I don't know, but I said Oliveira, Charlie Olives, Harrington and Brian, who you got?
Oliveira all day, baby. Make it 9.
Okay, Bri.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most dangerous opponent that we've seen Michael Chandler fight in a long time. I've been watching footage on both of these dudes like the past 2 days, and I'm with Lewis. It's like 50-50, but I'm definitely going to go with Michael Chandler. I'm definitely maybe going to go with Michael Chandler.
Yeah, well, no, I'm the same way. I have no idea really who's going to win. It's a close fight. Stylistically, I think Charles Oliveira is more capable of a finish with the submissions. Who knows? All right, there you go. Enjoy the fights this weekend. We got some questions, though. You guys have delivered bympod@gmail.com if you've got any that you want to send in. But Brian, I believe we have some fun ones.
We do. I have a question here from a Mr. Dan Belson.
Gavin Belson.
My name's Dan.
Dan Belson.
I'm addicted to Luis J. Gomez. I first came across Luis on the Believe You Me podcast, and I could not stand him. But then, somehow, he started to grow on me. So now here I am. Watch every Believe You Me, every Legion of Games, every Real Life podcast, and I even watched Gomez, which is Seinfeld. So my question for you is, Mike, is there a way to kick this habit? Or do I just have to love him and become a fully fledged Gomite?
I hate this person.
I love him. He's awesome.
I hate this person. What are you doing, Belson? Okay. No. All you got to do is you got to continue to. If you want to break the habit, just continue to ingest. Yeah. Continue to ingest, and eventually, one day, you'll get a hold of yourself, and you'll be like, "What have I done? What am I doing?"
A lot of people have compared, it's like, I'm like beer. Like when you first taste beer, you're like, this is disgusting. What is this? I hate this. And then after a couple times, you're like, oh, I kind of like it. Then after a little while, you need it in your life. Then after a while, it becomes a problem. And then at one point, you need to get it out of your life. So that's sort of what's going to happen with me.
Callum's currently in the, oh, I never used to like beer, but I like it now.
Ah.
Yeah. So, but it will become a problem. I don't know. Thanks for sending in the question there, though. Wasn't really a question. What was it? How do you kick the habit? Well,
you kick the habit.
Just enjoy, my friend. Thanks for the question. What else we got, Brian?
I got one here from Richard Rodriguez, who also just recently sent in a question we answered.
Yo, doggies, it's me again. Yo, Mike, question, what's your favorite accent to do? Because I'm Brazilian and your Portuguese is spot on. Luis J. Gomez. What the fuck do you use to shave your head with? Do you do a big, the 5-blade, the 3-blade? Let me know, doggy.
I don't think he needs help. That was the smoothest fucking head I've ever seen. He would give Ali Abdelaziz a run for his money. He'd give the Luis J. Gomez a run for his money. But Luis, what do you use to sharpen your blade of a head?
So I will use some, well, if, depending if it grows in a little bit, I'll use my Manscaped to trim my head down a little bit. And then I use, what do I have, like a Gillette Mach 3, one of these? But I, when I, really any razor, I bick my head pretty easily, and I didn't do it up until maybe until I was like 30. I would always go to the barbershop and have them use a straight razor because I was so afraid I was going to cut myself. And then one day I just did it at the gym and I was like, this is fucking easy. And then the next time I did it, I was way too confident. And I just like, without even looking, just did it really, really quick. And I looked up and there was blood pouring down my face. Oh, I looked like an old school wrestler.
Yeah, I used to shave my own head back in the day. But what was his question to me? Favorite accent? I'm not an impressionist and I don't really do accents as such, but I just, since we've been doing this show, a lot of bullshit accents come out. I don't think they're good, but I'm just having a laugh with it. So there you go. Brian, we got anything more?
On that exact note, we got a video in from Kevin Pickering that would disagree with what you just said.
Kevin Pickering, eh?
The Believe You Me podcast.
I was about to say, in fact, better than my normal voice. My wife said to me,
I know you might. She doesn't think that Jessica A is a very good person. She thinks that she's a wee bitch. So she does. And she's going to hate her like a wee bitch.
He's fucking itching to get on, mate. He's there. He's texting me every 2 minutes. Like, Mike, what the fuck? I'll go to bed, lads. His calf was a balloon.
Oh, Rotary! With the potential to contribute towards the end of the match, with the immediate winging more heavily than the cumulative impact. Okay, listen. Polish song, not so good. My Polish, no problem.
He's coming at me and he's talking. Oh, I can't do a New Zealand accent. Fuck, man, ladies, you're fucking coming on here and talk like this. You know what I mean? It was, all right, Mike, how you doing, man? You all right? Yeah. Did you hear about the time at the Sydney Opera House? I'm walking down the street with my kangaroo with a fucking flaming Goliath throws a fucking boomerang, you know, to get down there. It's quite the trek, you know? I got to go down by the Miami or maybe a
right about now.
No, this is number one bullshit. Okay. In Dagestan, we have number one podcast in the world. We talk about how to milk goats on a regular basis. I didn't drive down to fucking Nottingham for 4 hours and put this petrol in the car for you to fucking lose. You know, my man this size does not need to shout, does not need to raise my voice. Okay. There's always a bigger, badder, tougher man around the corner, Michael. You got to be careful, right? There's always somebody that's going to put you in your place. You don't want to go after my son. Nah, man. Nah, I ain't gonna fucking take that, Lewis. Ain't gonna take that. Francis, you bad wee bastard. You know, there's always someone bigger and better around the corner. And he's like, no, Kathleen, there is not anybody bigger or better than me. Who's the real bad motherfucker anyway? See, I can't do a fucking Irish accent like that. Went up 2 weight divisions on a short week's notice, yeah.
All right.
Ah, right. Before the fight, no hesitation. I can't.
This is a long, keep it going, keep it going then. Okay.
Irish accent. I'll do the same door. Surprise, surprise, the king is back. Jacuzzi right about now in, you know, in Jamaica with the family. Right about now, we're gonna start the show with this, you know, because in a few hours, man, you're leaving, right?
Mama, all right, yeah, all right, you know.
Dad, why are you hitting me so hard?
All right, God's sake. That was
put that whole compilation out on the BYM channel, can you please, Brian and Harrington?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
yeah,
so funny.
And then we should put it on the Believe You Me podcast page as well on Instagram. But yeah. Unfortunately, I still can't get into it.
I cannot get into the fucking thing.
If anyone can help me. So it's linked to my account. So I hold it down so you can switch accounts. Yeah. But I can't log in. So every time I just go, forgot password because I don't know what the password is. But then it keeps only resetting my personal one, not the other page that's linked.
Go to desktop, go to Instagram.com and then log in with that. Try to log in with just that because it won't be switching and they'll send you the email.
Yeah, I've done that also. Did it. Trust me. Tried it. But I will try again. But yeah. All right. Well, Lewis, you haven't been kicked out of your room yet. So that's good. Or maybe you got a gang of angry cleaning maids out there. I'll be honest. You're not being nice to the next person that's going to be in that room. They're going to have residue of Gomez in there. You know, you're being very disrespectful, should I say, to the cleaning ladies. They're doing a hard job, often underappreciated, Lewis, and you're making it harder for them.
Well, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I don't really care. Believe You Me was the priority, and it's as simple as that. If I got to pay a late checkout fee, if I have to fight some security guards, whatever I got to do for the Believe You Me community, I'm here.
Well, I like that, and I like your commitment to the game. We'll be back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. Enjoy the fights, and we'll have a recap. We're going to have Darren Till. We're going to have some special guests. We've got Michael Bennett Page joining us next week as
He is. That's awesome.
Yep. His management reached out, so we'll have Michael Bennett Page, Darren Till, and some other guests as well. So, until then, be well. Take care.